Our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to give you thanks tonight for your incredible, extraordinary, unending, and unchanging love. Lord, we bless you tonight that there's nothing in our lives that you cannot take and work for good, that you aren't working for good right now. There's no obstacle, no difficulty, no issue, Lord, in our life, no issue in our past, that you are not working for good. What an incredible treasure we have in Jesus Christ. We bless you tonight, Lord, and we praise you tonight for your incredible generosity, your incredible faithfulness, your incredible wisdom, your incredible goodness. And nothing in all the world, in all creation, things to come, things in the past, no power can keep your active personal love from our lives and our situation. Now I just praise you, Lord, tonight, that though at times in our life things may seem bleak or difficult or impossible, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is too hard for you. You have a plan for each and every one of our lives. And sometimes, Lord, what unfolds before us in a circumstance that we're dealing with may be the exact opposite of what we hoped for or what we prayed for, but you have a script. You're the director. You're the author of the play. And you always promise it will end good. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're at work in each life tonight. There is no person here that came by accident. You have a purpose and you have a reason why they're here. You drew them here for a reason. And I pray tonight you'd speak to us, Lord. I pray tonight you'd fill us with hope. You'd fill us with direction. You'd fill us with the encouragement that your word gives to us, Lord. Illuminate our hearts. Illuminate our minds. And give us a hunger and a willingness to follow the counsel and the ways of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I got a call this evening before the service, and it was one of those calls that's never easy to take. I didn't know it at the time because the name, it didn't come up on my phone, but I just felt, I don't know why, even though it was close to the service, and I don't usually answer right close to the service, I thought, you know, I just feel what I should answer. Well, the person on the other end was despairing, absolutely despairing. And so I just thought, you know, Lord, I just ask you to give me right now the calm and just the peace to listen to what this individual is going through. And I won't get into it. It's no one you would know, someone I knew many years ago. And just a really horrific set of circumstances. And the whole time they were sharing with me, telling me that I've been to counselor, I've been here, I've been there. No one has any answers. I just want my life to end. I want it to be over. You know, I just reminded myself, Lord, you have all the answers. See, we can think and we can say to ourselves, God doesn't have the answers. My situation is too difficult. God can't possibly solve it. It's too messy. But it never is. It never is. And it feels like that sometimes to human beings, but with God, it never, ever is. And so, we're about 40 minutes into the call, and there'd been a lot of tears and a lot of rage that this individual had felt, and I understood it all. I really did. Their situation has been incredibly difficult. And I just calmly said, well, you know, if you'd like, I think I could offer you some help. And they kind of calmed down, and I said, I want you to know, with God, there's always hope. With God, there's always hope. But the first place it starts tonight, the first place, is for you to really believe God's forgiven you. It's to really believe that the blood of Jesus Christ forgave you. You mentioned how much you've been walking around with this shame, this overwhelming shame, and you just want your life to end, but it doesn't have to. Your life can start fresh tonight because you can lay that shame down at the foot of the cross. Jesus took all the shame, all of it. And the next thing you have to do is let go of the hate. I understand the hate. Oh, man, I understand it. But it's killing you. It's draining all your emotional strength. It takes tremendous physical, mental, and emotional strength to make hate stay alive. Did you know that? Oh, my gosh, it's like a cancer, and it will suck all the blood. That's what a tumor tends to do. It just draws all the blood to it, and it grows and grows, and it robs the body of its nutrients. And that's what hate is like. When you've been through a situation and others have wronged you so deeply, so horrifically. And hate just, anyway, it's just a beautiful thing to know that no matter who's on the other end of my phone, God has answers. And we have to have the courage and the patience. We have to have the confidence in the Word of God. And I shared a number of personal things with this person. And I said to them, I said, I want you to know something. If I did not believe in every single thing I told you that was absolutely the Word of God and the truth, then I'd quit. So we have nothing. We have nothing. We all ought to just die. Without Christ, it's nothing. Without God's truth, there's nothing. But God has a way for each and every one of us in which we can thrive. And tonight, I want to talk about that. I'm going to end my series, Go the Old Way, Live Long and Prosper. And tonight is entitled, Strive and Thrive. Strive and Thrive. And I just want to remind you of this verse. This is the verse we've been using in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Now, says the Lord, stop right where you are. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your soul. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. But our attitude is, yes, Lord, it is the road we want. Remember how often Jeremy's had us sing, I'm coming your way, I'm coming your way, I'm coming your way, Lord? That's what this is referring to. And I reminded this person on the phone tonight of this verse. Right now, you're walking the way of shame, and you're walking the way of hatred and anger and bitterness. And these were the things they were telling me. God wants you to stop right where you are. Stop. And let's get you on a different road. You keep going down that road and it's going to end in disaster. It already is catastrophic. But God has a road for our heart to walk down, a road for our mind to walk down, and a road for our life to walk down. And I want to talk about that tonight. Did you know that in the New Testament, you may not know this, but before they ever called us Christians, you know what they called us? They called us people of the way. People of the way. The book of Acts. God has a way for us to live. And in the early days of the church, we were known as people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are not many ways to life. There are only God's ways, and they run through Christ and through the Word of God. There is no life apart from those things. And we'll get to this in a moment. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the Coca-Cola commercial, although some of you may not even remember this. And I have to keep remembering that this was the commercial last century. Though you might find it if you look it up. Maybe once in a while they say it. But Coca-Cola was the real thing. Really the real what thing? The real thing is going to trash your teeth? Yep, it'll do that. That's already proven. Coca-Cola wanted to position itself like, you want real life? You want the real deal? Drink this. Well, actually, it's really bad for you. It's not the road to real life. No pop is. But that's the way the world is. The world, in all of its ways, society advertises itself. It's, man, we have life. We have life. Come this way. We have life. Go this way. We have life. And we're going to look at a little bit of one of these things tonight. And Paul's instruction in Timothy. I've been pondering this verse now for several weeks. Actually, this passage, I've been reading it over every single morning, and it's quite rich, and I wanted to talk about it. It ties in a little bit to our last couple weeks, but at the same time, I'd like to take it a little farther than what I did the last couple weeks. So this is taken from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to read from the New International Bible tonight and a little bit in a moment from the Berkeley Bible. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. That's basically what Paul is writing is not, look, if you just have something to eat and you got something to wear, that's good. It's really a simple way of saying, if you have the basics, you have the basics. We know today, in the world in which we live, you're going to need a bed to lay on. You're going to need a roof over your head. It doesn't have to be ultra fancy, but you're going to need one. And in a city this size, most people need some kind of transportation to get around. But as I said a few weeks ago, and you may differ, and that's okay if you differ, but I'd be glad to prove it to you. There's no one here, unless you literally make a living with a $55,000 vehicle, that you need one. And so Paul is trying to say here, look, God, we're going to get into this tonight. What is godliness? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember, we didn't bring anything into the world, and we can't take anything with us. That's really important to remember. We came into the world naked, and we're going to leave the world naked and empty-handed. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires and cravings that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many, many sorrows. Here's what the New Living Translation says. True godliness with contentment is in itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So if we have enough food and clothing, be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish, harmful desires. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, O man of God, flee from these evil things and instead strive after righteousness and a godly life. Strive after faith, love, perseverance, and humility. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you know is real life indeed. Now I want to read this to you from my little Berkeley New Testament. Because it says it says the same thing, but it just uses a couple different words that I thought were really striking. So this is chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Sorry, my little page is stuck together. Godliness with contentment is great gain indeed. For we brought nothing into the world, and obviously we can't take anything out with us. When we have food and clothing, we should be content with these. Those who are eager to be rich fall into the temptation and the snare and into numerous thoughtless and hurtful cravings that plunge people into destruction and ruin. For the love of money and what it can get you is the root of all evils. In striving for it, some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, shun these things, abhor these things, flee from these things, and go after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, perseverance, humility. Fight the good fight of faith. Grab hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be proud or to put their hope in the uncertainty of wealth, but in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Urge them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous givers, to practice sharing, and to treasure up for themselves a foundation for the future, so they may take hold of the life that is real life. Now, there's some really important things that I want you to notice. First of all, Paul tells Timothy, treasure godliness. Treasure godliness. In fact, he tells him to strive after it. Go after it. Now, I don't know if you're like me. You don't have to be like me in this way. But when I come across words, I kind of know what strive means, but I thought I'm going to look it up. I'm just going to look it up. Just so no one misunderstands. You know what it means? It means to vigorously pursue something. Chase after it. In the Christian life, here's a cutesy little saying. If you coast, you're toast. If you want to thrive, you must strive. That's the only way in the Christian life. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus told us, did he not? Paul, in this text, is really regurgitating some of the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, you will either love money or love God. But you can't do both. Money is a taskmaster. Have you ever noticed something about people who want money? They don't just want money. They want what money can get them. See, and that's what you need to understand. You may think to yourself, well, I don't want to be rich. No, but we want the stuff that money can get. It takes all your focus. It takes all your striving. It takes all your thought. If you're really going to get rich, and this is the way people treat it, they go after it. They go after it. They plan. They plot. They scheme. Always trying to get rich. And some even who aren't rich will just grab as many credit cards as they can, and they'll put as much on it as they can. And they go into debt. They don't care because they want stuff, because they believe that stuff will make them happy. Paul says, this is deadly. This is deadly. It'll kill your life. It'll rob you of real life, and it will lead you to tremendous problems. It will cause you to wander from your faith. It will leave you to terrible cravings and desires and temptations that plunge men. Like I think of plunge. When I think of plunge, I think of a movie that came out some years ago called Arthur, and it had Keira Knightley and that other English-speaking guy in it, and I forget his name. Yeah, maybe that's the guy. Anyway, they get this, the enemy's out on this ice, and they're chasing them, and they break the ice, and they shoot all these arrows, and the ice, they make the ice, and all these guys plunge to their death with all their armor. Anybody see that movie? That was a while ago anyway. Never mind. That's what I think of when I think of plunge. Just plunge. You're hopelessly going under. And this is what will happen. Think of it this way. This is what will happen when you don't flee those evil things and chase after God. The first thing Paul says to him is flee those evil things. Just be content, Timothy, with the basics of life, because remember, nothing you possess, you get to take with you. There are no hearses with the trailer connected. All the ancient pharaohs are rotted in their mummy clothes with all their gold and all their junk. And it's there, buried under sand. You can't take any of it with you. But there are things you can take with you. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Because when you understand that, when you understand eternity, then you're able to lay hold in this life of what's real life. Of what's real life. I like how he says to Timothy, but you, O man of God. But you, O man of God. You're either a godly man or a worldly man. You're either a godly woman or a worldly woman. I want you to ask the question tonight, which are you? Which are you? Are you consumed by a desire to know God? Are you striving in your life? Are you exerting yourself vigorously in your life to walk with God, to develop your relationship with God, to know God, to honor God, to love God? Jesus said, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I've known people in my life, people that I loved, who wandered away from faith, walked away from family, walked away from priorities of life because of one desire. They wanted more money. They wanted more stuff. They wanted more of what money could get them. And they sacrificed everything to get it, and it's ruined their life. God doesn't want your life to be ruined. He wants you to understand the rich life that God wants to give you. But you're never going to have it. You're never going to have it unless you determine to go after godliness. I'm going to be godly. I'm going to be godly. No matter what it costs me, I'm going after godliness. No matter what it costs me, Lord, I'm going after godliness. I'm going to strive after godliness. I want you else to notice something about this passage. It's very intriguing. Paul says, he doesn't say, go after your mission. There's a lot of people that are involved in ministry that aren't godly first. They get all their thrills from ministry, but they're not godly. I could stand up tonight and tell you one name after another, probably that a number of you would recognize, of famous author preachers in this town and in this country who have basically sold their birthright for a pot of porridge, who have had affairs, who were talented in the pulpit, wrote books, but they weren't godly. They weren't fixed on God. They weren't focused on righteousness, growing in righteousness, growing in love, growing in humility. That wasn't what they were passionate about. They were passionate about fame. They were passionate about their own self-interest. They were passionate about money. You can turn on your television any Sunday morning. Boy, I could name names this morning, but I won't, because it'll make me very angry. And you got those prosperity gospel guys telling you godliness is a means of wealth. They're liars. They're filthy liars. Absolutely contrary to the very written words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. Timothy, be content with the basics. Flee these evil desires. Flee the love of money, Timothy, and strive after God. Go after God. You know what the word flee means? It means to run for your life. It means like you're running from an enemy who's chasing you to kill you. And by the way, that is what the devil wants to do. He can't kill you eternally, but he can absolutely destroy your life now in real time. And he will if you let him. So again, we get back to this simple phrase. If you're not striving after God, then you'll never thrive. You'll flourish and thrive when you're going after God. So we'll just break this down and then we'll wrap it up. Godliness means to be a person devoted to God in all things. To strive after God, to know God, to love God, to seek God, to allow God to permeate every area of your life. You want God. You want the will of God. Jesus told us we'll either be devoted to money or God, but it can never be both. It can never be both. Now, lest you misunderstand, let me read to you this passage in Matthew chapter 6. And you'll see here how Jesus says almost the very same thing. I won't read the whole passage, but he's talking to his disciples and his followers, and he says this: why then are you anxious and worried, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What am I going to have? For on all these things, pagans center their interest. That's the key phrase. What have you centered the interest of your life on? What is the center of your interest? When you get up in the morning, what's some of the first things going through your mind? Have you ever thought about this? As you go through your day, what's the center of your interest? Who's the center of your focus? Who's the center of your thoughts? Who's the center of your pursuits? What are you going after in thought, word, and deed? He says this, your heavenly Father knows you need these things, but you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and I'll work these other things out for you. I'll work these things out. Again, I could tell you so many stories over the years of my 40 years following Christ of how following the Lord and putting him first. There was a time in my life he gave me a house, gave me a car. God has come through for me. God has multiplied supplies that I needed, finances that I needed that were beyond what I could have ever done. I did not take my eye off Christ. I did not deviate from first Christ, first Christ, first God, his kingdom, his righteousness. I want to grow in Christ's likeness, Lord. I want to grow to be more like God. I was talking recently to an individual. A woman called me for advice. And basically she broke down, and just basically what she described was her husband, who claims to be a Christian, who is nothing more than a bully. Just a bully. And he bullies her over and over and over. Some call it emotional abuse. Call it whatever you want. It's bullying. Bullying. It's harsh. It's harsh. It's anti-Christ. All of us, every male I know, has some measure of emotional detachment that can be harsh or verbal harshness. And the solution is Christ in all things. The solution is go after godliness. Go after Christ. Grow in love. And I began to share my story with this woman. Because, you know, I understood how she felt, because I know there were times early on in our marriage I made my wife feel what she was describing. She was kind of shocked when I said that. I was just being very honest. I want to share with you what God did in my life, and I want to share what it took. And I'm telling you right now, God is my witness. Had I not vigorously exerted myself to grow into a different man, I would have been the harsh, dictatorial, overbearing moron. We cannot approach Christ and God passively. Just for example, if you want to get rich, if you want to get rich in this world, it ain't just going to happen, my friend. You got to buy all in. You got to sell your soul. You got to go after it, after it, after it. You got to work deals. You got to put in time. You got to scheme. You got to plan. You got to take risks, or you never get rich. And Paul is using that as an analogy, and he says, that's evil. That's garbage. But with that same focus and energy, go after God. Anything else, let's just be honest, anything else dishonors God. Anything else is a slap in the face to God. This is why the same writer, Paul, says in Romans, I urge you, therefore, brothers, I plead with you, brother and sister, in view of God's generosity, God's mercy, give him your whole body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable, spiritual service of worship to God. Give him everything. If Christ is worth anything, he's worth everything, and you have to go after it. I've been working with a young man this last year. He went through Teen Challenge, had a severe addiction issue, drugs and alcohol. been in trouble many times. I've known him since he was 2 years old. And about a year and 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I received a letter, and I hadn't seen him in years. He was not here, part of this church, and he said, "Mark, would you come and see me? Would you come visit with me, and would you help me? Would you mentor me?" I prayed about it, and I could tell as I read the letter, this is the truth, I could tell as I read the letter that he had a different attitude. Same guy, same issues, but he had a different attitude than I had encountered about 3 years earlier. And I could tell there was a sincerity to what he was wanting and what he was asking. So I began to go. And I meet with him, and I encourage him, and I was very direct with him. I loved him, cried with him, prayed over him, prayed for him every day since I've been visiting. So a year and 4 months, every day, haven't missed a day. And I prayed for him. Eventually he got out of that, he got into their leadership program. So I began visiting with him, and I told him, we'll just call him Tommy. I said, "Tommy, you need to listen to my messages. You need to carry me around in your pocket and let me mentor you and disciple you. I can help you. You need to submit to these things. I want to help you become the man that God wants you to be. But you're going to have to go after this. You know how you used to go after drugs? You used to try to find deals? You used to drink? You used to go after the party life? You got to give God the same energy. You got to go after God with the same vigor. Or don't waste my time. Because I got one life to live, and I'm not about to spend my time wasting it with folks who are half in. You want to be all in? I will help you. I will go to bat for you. I'll go to court with you. I'll go talk to the judge for you. But you got to be all in. God can do anything in your life. There's nothing that God cannot do." Well, anyway, so I've been praying for him, and my goodness, you know, we'll meet for coffee, and he's growing. He says, "Mark, I'm reading the Word, and I'm listening to this series, Mark, and all of a sudden I was doing my job the other day, and this breakthrough, Mark, all of a sudden I got it, this grace thing that you've been talking about, I got it." And I just tears welled up in my eyes. So then we're talking, we met another time, we're talking about, I want to help him. I believe someday he could be a leader. I told him that. I said, "Someday I believe it's possible you could be a pastor." I said, "I believe that this city is full of addicts and alcoholics, and they need what you have. And you are a living, breathing example of what could happen to them. And you," and I've told him this, and you have to trust me how I mean this, "you are a platform for me to get in and speak to their lives. You're my first guy." I've told them some others here, I won't name their names, who first came to me 16, 15 years ago that were alcoholics or drug addicts, and today they're some of the key leaders in this church. God can do anything. But you got to get serious. So the other day, I wrote him, see how he was doing. And I get an email back, and he's like, "Well, Mark, you're not going to believe this." And he's right, I didn't. I kind of went off, freaked out a little bit. He goes, "Well, I went over to a friend's, Mark. I was jumping on a trampoline, and I broke my ankle. I won't be able to finish my job. I don't think my insurance is going to cover it." And I'm like, I thought a lot of things. I won't tell you what I thought. But I struggled. I instantly struggled. I struggled with, oh my gosh, Lord, this could be an unbelievable setback. Oh my gosh, the last thing he needs to be doing is sitting at home, staring at the walls, on the computer. Oh my gosh, Lord, what am I going to do? This just changes all my plans and my dreams for this young man. And then, of course, I have to fight for faith, right? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight for faith. We have to fight, all of us. I have to fight for my faith every day. Every single day. Every single day, I'm not only fighting for my faith, but I'm building my faith. So I went to my office, and I just kind of, it was very emotional for me because I love this young man. I love him. And I was just shocked. Get this. A few hours later, the next day, he's been staying with his mom. He goes, I don't know what's going on, you guys. He goes, but my mom just came walking down the steps to bring me something, and she fell and broke her ankle, same ankle. I'm like, oh my God.
Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? Or what are you allowing? I'm not blaming him for tripping or nothing like that. So I wrote him and I just said, oh my gosh, I'm just praying. So he writes me, He goes, I should have brought the letter. It made me cry. He goes, Mark, I'm telling you, God is just doing some amazing things. The mom and dad have separated. He said, my dad, out of the blue, has come. He's picking my mom up from surgery. She had to get surgery. He's over here. I've been having some pretty unbelievable talks with him about what God's been doing in my life. And he's going on. And he said, Mark, actually, my insurance does cover it, so I'm covered there. And he said, and my birthday happened, and I don't know why someone sent me a bunch of money. And so it's going to cover my time here. And he said, Mark, God is just being so faithful to me. God is making himself so real to me. And then he goes, Mark, he said, I cannot thank you enough for believing in me, for loving me, for breathing on me, for sharing truth with me. And I just, you know, I'm weeping. I'm like, God, you blew my mind. See, because my faith faltered there, Lord. I was kind of like, what are you doing, God? Well, what are you doing? You always know what you're doing. But the only reason this young man is sustaining this right now is because he's been striving after God. And if he had not, it'd just sort of be coasting. I can tell you right now, this kind of thing just happened, you'll crash and burn. You just go right back. You just go back to using. You're like, what's the point? What's the point? Hey, if I tried all this stuff and now God lets this happen to me, woe is me. God wants to do something magnificent in your life. Go after God, strive after righteousness. Go after Christ's likeness. Go after a deeper, more mature faith. Grow in your love. I cannot tell you how hard, how much effort, prayer, memorization of the word, listening to truth, begging God to make me a more loving man. A more patient husband, a kinder husband, a more sensitive husband, a better listening husband. And how many times I've been in a situation where I just consciously, right now, Lord, I'm going to practice loving. I'm going to practice what I've been thinking about. I'm not going to respond how I feel, but I'm going to trust you to be like Christ. Grow in perseverance and endurance. Grow in humility. Fight for your faith. Keep a tight grip on eternity. Your life is there. Don't trust in money and wealth. It'll soon be gone. Trust God who will give you what you need after your basic needs are met. Use your money to do good. I'm out of time tonight. There's so much more to say. Use what God has given you to do good works. Be rich in good works. Do you know why? Because all your good works you take with you. That's how you lay hold of eternal life. Our life, over and over again, the Bible commands us, do good, do good, do good. Do good to others, do good to others, do good to others. Use what you have. Use your abilities. Use extra funds you might have. Use tools in your house, whatever you can share. This is the truth. I am always trying to find ways to share with the people in my life that I care about or that God has in my life, whatever I can give. Whether it's of my time, whether it's of my energy, whether it's just serving, whether it's cleaning the toilets. Whatever I can do, be rich in good deeds, because that's how you and I lay hold of eternal life now. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight that wherever we are, you're there. Wherever we are, you're there. And that we can seek you wherever we are. We can seek you and talk to you and interact with you and pursue godliness right in our car as we're driving down the highway. We're taking a shower. You're there. You're in the office with us. You're there. You're on the construction site with us. You're there. We're up in the middle of the night with a little child who we're feeding or who's sick. You're there. Oh God, I pray that you'd make us a vigorous people. I pray that we would be, that Paul could write to us, but you, oh men and women of God, that we would be known as godly people. Work in our life, Lord. Work in our life. Give us a passionate devotion. Help us go after God with all our might and all our strength. Thank you, Lord, so much for your love, for your availability, that we have access to you. God, you're extraordinary, and we praise you tonight for giving us this wonderful relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. We'll be starting a new series next week.